I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Well, it's a big show. Yes, it's a big, bad show tonight.
Wendy's Big Show, 3 o'clock hour. Brewers up 11-8. They're winning this game, Stevie. Thanks a lot, Derek Johnson. 11 runs. We'll hang that one on you on your way out.
Yeah, well, it's not over yet. So let's see.
Oh, stop that. This thing's over. In the bank and earning interest. Alex Claudio on the mound. Pitching. Brewers up 11-8 in the top half of the seventh. Tim Allen waiting in the wings.
The other team has 8 runs. You're in the seventh. How do you feel confident that it's over?
So confident.
I'm
so confident in this game.
You were petrified like an inning ago begging with Tim, are they going to win the game?
I just wanted to make sure that he was on the same page. Because when the Brewers were down 5-0 when I was at home, I was like, oh, they're gonna be able to fight in this game. This game's not over at all. And the roof closed on a hot, muggy day. Ball's going to fly out of here.
Fans love that.
You get Dietrich out here, who's got a home run stroke going, number 22 for the Reds, and this thing's over.
Nothing much better than sitting in a hot, humid Miller Park with a roof closed.
Oh, it's just brutal, isn't it?
Miles sit in a damn sauna.
You try being 300 pounds and doing it.
No,
and then
thank you.
Have some real problems.
Nope.
414-799-1250. Bucks have a Toronto Raptors problem now tied up at 2 games apiece after the Raptors get their blowout win last night. Sparky, host of the Pick and Save Milwaukee Pro Hoops post-game show. You said the reaction was tempered because from me being down at the Mecca, or down in the Deer District, I ended up being at Punch Bowl Social for a little while. Late in the game, Punch Bowl Social was just dead. I mean, and people were, it was like a morgue in there. Yep. Everyone's looking around, just waiting for answers, trying to find some. Didn't have any. And said at halftime on a video I put up on Twitter where it was a nervous confidence that was going around there as people are fist bumping each other, walking around at halftime, taking pictures around the big block, Bucks letters and stuff. It was, okay, yeah, we'll get it. We'll flip the switch in the second half. And the Bucks electricity was out last night.
Yeah, they obviously couldn't find that switch to flip in the second half. And that obviously is an issue. I just don't understand, like, where was the energy? Where was the want to? Where was the fight? Where was all of that? I mean, that team has shown it all year long. And I'm watching Giannis inside battling with 2-3 guys trying to get a rebound with no help inside whatsoever. I was just blown away by the lack of energy and effort from that basketball team last night. I really was. They got out-hustled and outplayed across the board. And then Bledsoe gets benched for George Hill. He didn't look none too happy about getting benched in that game for George Hill, who got more minutes than he did. But you got to be careful now, Coach Budenholzer. You don't want to get Bledsoe all worked up and mad going into the offseason because you just signed this dude to a 4-year contract. You don't need him, all of a sudden saying, I don't think I really want to be here anymore. I really don't want to play for this coach who doesn't believe in me. He's going to sit me every time, you know, I have a bad game or two. He's going to pull me. I don't think you want to poke Eric Bledsoe from that perspective. But Bledsoe has to play better. I mean, I don't blame Bud for pulling him at all. He's got to play
better. Not even a little bit.
He just has to play better. This is the Eastern Conference Finals. This isn't the regular season. It's just not. You shouldn't get as long of a leash in the Eastern Conference Finals as you do in the regular season. If you're not playing well and your backup is playing better than you, then your backup needs to play if he's got the hot hand. Problem is, last night, nobody had a hot hand on the bench. George Hill or anybody else on the bench was able to score consistently last night.
Gary, what's the former player feel of that? Where Stevie just brought it up, and it's a very valid point. Eric Bledsoe just signed a 4-year, $70 million deal. And we talk about it at length, seemingly all the time. You get paid the money, you're going to have to play. But in a situation like this, where Eric Bledsoe is noticeably not happy when he comes out in a situation like this, if you're one of those other dudes on the team, is there any feelings?
Well, Bledsoe knows
that
he's not playing well.
Right.
I mean, he knows it.
He knows more than anybody.
He knows what's going on. I mean, he doesn't even, Steve, talk about Giannis. He doesn't even look like himself right now.
Sure.
He looks shell-shocked. I mean, he looks unsure. When I forget one game, did he get like a putback layup or did something? He walked and had like the prayers, like "Thank you, Jesus." I mean, he knows he's struggling. What is the coach supposed to do? I mean,
so you're not reading into that. You're feeling like it's more of a Bledsoe just mad about his own performance.
Mad himself.
Okay,
and
cool.
He wants to do better, and he's just struggling right now, and that's part of their problem too. I mean, I just think ultimately, who's your best player? I mean, last night, I mean, well, just if you've been watching the series the last four games, I'm just going to say this. Kawhi Leonard can get a shot anytime he wants.
He's been getting it. Been getting against whoever the Bucks are.
He can go anywhere on the court, do anything he wants to do.
Chris Middleton's played very, very solid defense against him, but you're right. He can get his shot when he needs to.
Chris ain't doing it all by himself, but, I mean, he can get to any spot on the floor, unlike Giannis. Head down, here I come. It's completely, one guy's much more versatile and it's tough to guard. Only thing going to stop Kawhi is if he gets tired or that knee bothers him.
414-799-1250, Billy's in West Bend. He's on the Fan. Hi, Billy.
Hey, guys. Rough one last night. Feel the pain. You know, we used to preach to our players back when we coached about toughness winning. It seems to me Sparky was alluding to it earlier. Toughness just didn't seem like it was there for the Bucks last night. I don't know why. I mean, they got out-rebounded. Those loose balls went to the Raptors and our defense. You know, one of your callers was talking earlier. If we don't get those guys to miss more shots and get our fast break going, that's how we score. We aren't getting any fast breaks when the ball's going through the net. So those toughness things, it's like we got punched in the mouth last night. And we didn't punch back. And somehow, you know, we got to be able to do that coming up Thursday night. But we sure got punched in the mouth, and I just didn't feel we had that toughness to fight back, and I don't know why.
See, that's appreciate the thing that I don't understand. And I don't think Gary understands it either. I don't understand how you're just not guns a-blazing in a playoff game. Like, I don't get how lack of energy happens in a playoff game.
I don't.
I do not understand how that works.
Don't get it.
Never played in one. I have no idea.
Just telling you.
But I do not get it, especially when you're up 2-1. You lost the last game in double overtime. You believe you're the better basketball team. If you win this one, you have a great chance of being done with this series and playing for an NBA championship against Golden State come Thursday night in Milwaukee at home. It was a huge game for you, and you just, nope. They just wasn't there. I mean, they were not feeling it. Giannis was for the first 2 or 3 minutes, and then after that, that was it.
Well, then he had to work too hard.
Yep.
And he knew that he had nothing. And that happens when a guy only has one thing that he can do.
One go-to, yep.
That's it. That's all I got. That's all I got. I'm giving you that is all I got. That's it. And it becomes hard and becomes difficult. And it does, and this is all I got. I can't do nothing else. And that's all Giannis has right now. He's going to be MVP of the league, fine, but that's all he's got.
I heard it earlier today when I was watching Stephen A. and them with Max and all those guys talking about it. 25 points, 10 boards, 5 assists, and 3 blocks for Giannis last night, and 1 steal. Those numbers, it's hard to say that he was to blame for any of the issue, but do you believe Giannis has to get the majority of the blame for this?
Well, yeah. Look at starts and ends with him to me. Yeah, he's the guy. I mean, if he's going to be MVP of the league, right?
Mm-hmm.
Then he got to outplay Kawhi to me. Listen, Aaron Rodgers' year last year, wasn't a bad year for a quarterback.
Yeah, 25 touchdowns, 2 picks.
His
almost
numbers,
4,000 yards.
But they weren't Aaron Rodgers' numbers. Man, for a quarterback in the league, they weren't bad numbers, right? I mean, but they weren't Rodgers' numbers. They weren't bad numbers. Giannis got to go to another level. What is Jeremy Jeffers doing, cuz?
Having issues because Claudio couldn't get out of the inning, and they had to bring Jeremy Jeffers in. And that game that Billy said was over is now 11-9 with the bases still loaded.
It's still over. Sparky, does Giannis deserve the blame for this?
See, you need to stop that right now. See, let me.
Well, Tim was the one that said they were going to win.
Yeah, I mean, both of you guys, but I'm going to blame Baby Tashi because here's what I'm going to get on.
Oh, here we go again. Look at this guy.
Well, yeah, of course. Ball hit him, cuz.
Well, see, never mind. I'm not going to get up. What? I'm not going to get up on the automated strike zone.
What? Strike zone? Ball hit him.
Right. And the thing is, you wouldn't need to worry about that if you would just use technology of the modern day and not have to have a guy standing there right behind a catcher calling balls and strikes the home plate. You can do it automatedly. You have the technology for it.
No.
Why do we not use it?
I don't want no automated.
That's where it's headed. They're testing it out in the Atlantic League.
I don't want no automated, cuz.
This is the seventh time that an umpire in a Brewer game, that the game has had to be paused.
Well, I don't care.
In the first 2 months because of umpires being injured. Standing behind home plate.
No, this is like having fun in my football. I don't want it.
Unbelievable.
I think that's where it's going. Hey, speaking of Giannis.
Is where it's going?
Needs to.
Yeah, they're testing it in the Atlantic League. That I'm telling you.
Go ahead and talk about it.
That's where it's going. Georgios, you've seen Georgios on the Giannis special, the agent for Giannis.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So
big fan of that.
He tweeted out, not very happy with Drake. He tweets out, this is one of the lead stories on ESPN right now. Imagine a gig and an athlete on VIP suite seats right next to the band. Stands up on the stage just to show off during the entire game, knowing cameras are on him, occasionally even massaging the singer. Security and him both allow it. I've never seen anything as disrespectful as this before going at Drake on the sidelines. I'm going to tell you something. This is like having your dad, you know, get on social media and complain about something you can't handle. Or having your mom go to the media about something you can't handle when you're playing professional sports.
Like, or go to the coach when you're playing youth sports.
I don't see any good in him opening his mouth. Just shut your mouth, get off of Twitter, and stay in your little office in Chicago and keep your nose out of this. Giannis is a grown man who can figure this out himself. And if he can't figure it out himself, that's a bigger problem that you all have to figure out. But he just get off of social media, dude. Like, just stay out of it.
Who said this?
His agent. Giannis's agent.
Come on, y'all.
You can't do this. Just stay. Because what's happening is now you are verifying to Drake that, dude, it's working.
That he's in his head.
Totally in his head.
Yep.
Now, I got to come out and say something because my guy's all mad. Mm-hmm. I just get off of social media. Don't talk to anybody. Watch the games at home. Be in a suite at the arena if you want Thursday night. Cheering on your guy, Giannis. I get it, but. That's not helping anybody.
Well,
it's definitely not helping
Giannis. He can be in the suite, but Drake's got to be on the floor.
Nope. Don't want him anywhere
Drake's
near
gotta
that
Drake's got to be in that arena.
Drake's got to be in that arena. I don't care how much he offers for a ticket. He's not getting in that arena if it's me. Nowhere near that arena.
No, I don't even think he needs to pay. I'll figure it out if I'm the Bucks that he's going to be in that arena.
And then Giannis goes 5 for whatever it is, and Drake is laughing in your stadium, enjoying himself as you lose, and you're going to go... Well, that was worth it.
Well, yeah, with that attitude.
Bucks fans are going to love that.
If you don't believe that you can rise above it.
No.
If you don't believe you will.
Nope. I don't want to even be challenged in that aspect at my home turf.
Huh.
Hey, you know what, Bruce? Get over all the Cub fans being in your stadium.
Yeah.
We'll allow them in for free. Come on. I'm not allowing some enemy into my game. No, absolutely not. Just keep your butt in Canada.
This is worse
and wait for them to come back.
This is worse than selling. And I don't mind the pre-sale for Cubs Brewers tickets. But that guy, if he's going to come in and pay, you laugh when you beat him, and then as the way out, Giannis walks up to him and says, "Hey, you can grab a drink in the Deer District on the way out if you want."
Do a Shaq. Hey, Kobe, tell me.
Yeah, I know what you're going to say. Yeah,
yeah,
yeah.
Tell me how it tastes.
Yeah.
Tell me how it tastes.
Yeah.
Because that's how you deal with the bully.
That's how you do
and
that.
That's how you deal with the bully.
What if you lose game 5?
Then you lose.
He's on the sidelines high-fiving on your home court.
It makes you better. Makes you a better player.
And then you go do it to him
you
in game 6.
You figure it out next year.
In the
or whatever.
Six.
Makes you a better player.
I disagree 100%. He's not coming in my arena. He's not coming to my city if I can help
him.
Nope. Don't want him.
414-799-1250. Yeah. Do you want Drake in the crowd for game 5?
No chance.
Well, if you want to pay, come in. What's today?
Today is Wednesday, May 22nd. Good day for one, though. Good day for a white wedding.
I want to hear Can I hear from Trail?
Let's do it. Trail's on the north side. You can join us. Once he drops off, line opens up for you at 414-799-1250. What's up, T?
Hey, what's going on with you, gentlemen?
What's up?
My thing is that I think they were looked a little shell-shocked in these two games on the road. But I will say something that's irritating me is people keep talking about what Kawhi is doing to Giannis defensively. Listen, man, they playing a boxing one.
Yeah.
Matchups only.
He ain't doing it by himself.
You cannot guard him one-on-one.
No.
I don't know why people keep saying that. I mean, that shows you how dominant he is, that they would rather open the court up for other players than allow Giannis to be effective in the game. And the boxing one is bothering him, and I think it probably would bother anybody. I've watched it be played in high school and college and different things like that. I mean,
yeah, you know, Trell, I ran a boxing one a couple times too, but normally when I run a boxing one, that I normally have that person actually up in that.
You're in the face the whole time.
I'm in the face the whole time. What they're not doing that to Giannis. They're letting Giannis stand out there and dribble, 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 and he really doesn't get any contact until he gets right at the free throw line.
No, well, I mean,
normally when I run a boxing one, I got that one guy all over that person. They're not really mm-hmm. doing that to him. They're saying, Giannis, if you want to take that 15 footer, that 12 footer, if you want to shoot that three, go ahead. But you are not getting in this paint.
No, well, I disagree, Gary, because I actually seen them have Kawhi up on top on him, and then they got the box behind Kawhi.
Well, sure, but it's soft. It's real. Watch it again. They're giving him the 15 and 12 footer. They're giving it to him.
But I would say he probably can get that shot, but they're not giving it to him. The reason why I said not giving it to him because they're not giving him much space. Because if you give him space, he's going to be able to drive downhill, and that's something. That's the adjustment that they made. That Boston then made. Boston gave him more space to be able to make.
Yeah, right. Well, he has enough space to rise up to take a 15 footer. That's what I'm saying. Now we can get into semantics. If he's 2 feet off of him, if he's 1 feet off of him, if he's a foot and a half, he has enough space to take the 15 footer if he wants to.
He doesn't have a 15 footer though.
There you go.
But people are going to say that. That's, they're going to use that to cater to their argument about his shooting.
It ain't catering. It's the truth.
No, well, the truth is he's the MVP without a jumper.
Well, sure, exactly. And I'm okay with that. He should be. He should be the MVP without that. I'm not arguing that.
I mean, Gary, all great players have shortfalls in you know, bad games in the series. I mean, all great players. Michael Jordan, you can go through the list. All of them do. My whole thing is that this series, Giannis needs his team to be more focused and more in tune than maybe that he would another series. Like the next series, if they're able to handle their business and go against Golden State, Golden State, for one, they don't play zone. And for two, the way they play defense is more of an open court, which kind of leads to them having a problem with Giannis. So, I mean, maybe they would change their defensive philosophy going in, but I don't think a team would do that after you've been playing away a certain way a whole year. And that's kind of what I want Coach Bud to stop doing. Stop switching up so much stuff. I've seen that too. Don't run no switching defense. Run the same defense y'all been number one in the league all year. You helping off too much on Kawhi when I don't even think they need to help that much off on Kawhi because, to me, he's hampered. He's hampered and he's exhausted. Put Milton or Brogdon on him. Help in the back if he drives past them and leave it at that. Stop leaving these guys wide open and hoping that they don't make shots because they get paid too.
That's
my whole thing with that.
Yep, appreciate the call, Trell. And they do get paid, and they're making their shots. And, Sparky, you're going to have to allow somebody – you're going to have to make somebody beat you. But when you're allowing – Norm Powell to take 18 shots, and he only hit six of them. Like, it wasn't like Norm Powell was shooting out of his mind, but if you're going to give pros shots like that, open looks, they gave way more of them than they usually do because of the defensive scheme that they decided to go with.
No, and they've been going with it for this series, and again, we go back to Bledsoe wanting to make this switch and go back to kind of playing like how they were a little bit last year and switching a lot and doubling and doing that type of stuff. And what ended up happening for the first time was these guys made him pay a little bit more than they made him pay the rest of the series. They actually shot the ball pretty well last night. 47% clip, I want to say. And when teams shoot the ball well, you're dead. And throughout the year, this team has defended the corner three pretty good, and they've stopped people at the paint for the most part. And for the most part last night, it wasn't that case anymore. They were able to get to where they wanted to go and get the shots they wanted to get as they wanted to get them, and then they were making them.
Yep. Big Al's in Bayview. He's on the fan. Hi, Big Al.
Hello, gentlemen. What's the difference of insanity? Doing the same thing over again and expecting different results.
Mm-hmm.
I'm telling you, I'm so disappointed with Coach B. I can't even believe it. I see few, if not any, adjustments from the guy, and I blame this solely on him. He did not have his team ready to play, nor did he have alternative strategic measures to put in place during game four. In addition to this, Coach B needs to somehow get the team, get their mind right. They're nervous. They're playing tight. It's obvious. Giannis is doing all he can. He needs some help from his coach and, two, from his teammates. It's ridiculous. They're not hitting shots. That's the bottom line to all of this. They are not hitting shots. But if I was Coach B, what I would do, I would borrow a speech that the great Dave McLean once used at halftime at the Garden State Bowl in 1981, when the Bears were getting trounced by Tennessee. Boys, you were walking all high and mighty during the season and during the first two games, but you just got your you-know-what's whipped by a bunch of goddamn Raptors. Now get out there and straighten up, or I am putting in the entire bench and we're done with this series after game five. That's all I got to say.
And then you know what happened? Jeff Dellenbach, one of our offensive linemen.
Mm-hmm.
You know what he said?
Played in the NFL for a long time, a center for the Dolphins.
You know what he said after that? Coach, can I get some help blocking number 92 over here?
Does that work very well?
Just saying. Do you know who number 92 was?
Are we talking about Reggie?
Yeah.
Everybody's going to need some help with that.
Yeah, because he kicking out. Coach, I can't block him by myself. Can y'all? I know y'all want me to get heart desire and all that kind of stuff, but he good. Can we at least chip him? Or can we get something over? Because I can't do it by myself, Coach.
Is that what you would have said if they would have asked you to block 56 when you were in Green Bay?
Oh, I was peeing in my pants. I ain't going to quit on y'all, but I was just going to tell you this. I'm going to need some help, too. I mean, you know what I'm saying?
I'm going up against LT. I'm going to need some
help. True statement, Dellenbach. Coach, can I get some help with 92, please?
I'm going to need some. I'm going to need some support.
And then you know what else? One of our DBs, you know what he said? Because we had never seen anything like that in the Big Ten. They had this joker named Anthony Hancock. Then they had another guy named Willie Gout.
He turned out to be pretty good, too.
I even know that name.
Oh, my God.
Them jokers was fast.
Willie Gout, track guy.
Fast. You know what you're talking about? Fast.
Like the right now speed.
Right now. Speed. We ain't never seen it. I mean, Anthony Carter was okay, but he wasn't fast. Like, these jokers are fast. Okay, let's talk about pillow windows and doors. Is that okay?
Let's do it. Gina Della, that fast insulation over there.
Any worry about jumping out of the plane?
I haven't gotten confirmation yet, but it does sound like it sounds like the wheels are turning over there at Pella Windows and Doors, though.
They're going to have a big enough parachute? Are you checking on that?
It sounds like that's what they're checking on.
Okay, good.
It sounds like the tickets are not going to be a problem. Once again, NBA Finals tickets for me to jump out of a plane at the air show wearing a Pella Windows and Doors and
it's
banner.
Sponsored by...
They're the grand sponsor of the air show, so they would like somebody to jump out. They requested me because I don't have a bad knee.
Yeah.
And I didn't just get married.
There you go. Pella Windows and Doors, Wisconsin's best windows and doors out there. Pella has 9 different lines to choose from, folks. Go to PellaWI.com to start the process right now. They are offering 0% down, 0% financing for 18 months. No payment until June of 2020. Guys, experience the Pella difference when you work with Gina Della from Pella. You work with her and her entire team. They're there to make your job run smoothly, and that's what they do. So call them right now, folks, at 262-783-6600. That's 262-783-6600. 6600 or go to PellaWI.com. Ask for the zero down, zero financing, zero payments for 18 months, and tell Gina Della from Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin, Gary and Leroy sent you.
Mike Boonholzer just did a conference call with media. Kane Pittman tweets out, Mike Boonholzer answered a series of questions on Drake in a conference call before jokingly suggesting that maybe the Bucks could get Christian Yelich to sit courtside of the Brewers and swing the bat as the players head into a timeout in Game 5.
It's a good idea. We can figure something out. We can get J.O. down there dancing with his shirt off or someone there shooting free throws. You're going to miss a lot of free throws if that's shaking in your face. Or Bart Winkler, the fans' resident superfan.
Is Bart here?
Bart's at the game.
He's going to join Anthony Mandela, and then you're going to have a chance at $1,000.
Milwaukee.
What's this?
The Bucks are what's hot, there's no need to deny. So what we gonna do? Let it fly, let it fly. That blue, green, and cream make opponents running high. So what we gonna do? Let it fly. Straight from the Central Division, we're focused on winning. It's pure tunnel vision, the Bucks on the mission. Here we go, let's go. Welcome to the Blend Show. Go Bucks, go, cause the president says so. Giannis flying high.
Joe Brown had the place going last night. Deirdre's was loud. It was loud.
What is he doing down there?
Oh, leading the charge, man. Leading the party, chanting defense. So, like, right outside of the arena, they got the one screen. Yeah. And it's got said, like, Fear the Deer on top. They got, like, a DJ booth set up over there. And then you walk in between the Mecca and, like, Punch Bowl Social, those two buildings. That's where they got, like, the graffiti paint wall that they keep showing people watching the game at. He kind of floats in between there.
Okay.
Jumping around with people. Sometimes he's up on the DJ booth. Sometimes he's in over here by the graffiti wall. He's working up a sweat, too, now. You know Joe's not.
Well, he'll sweat easy, though.
Joe sweats like I do.
Yeah, he's a sweater.
Joe's going to sweat turning on the heat.
Yeah, he is.
But he was turning up the heat. He was getting everybody going.
Let it fly. Does he sing this while he's down there or no?
They do play it quite often.
Oh, they play it.
They play it quite
often. Let it fly, let it fly.
Let it fly, let it fly. They didn't play Going Bonkers, though.
Nah, he ain't. No. What's his name? 21st, what's his name?
Just Chris.
Yeah, I like Just Chris. But, you know, I don't like Bonkers and nothing. But I like, don't take it the wrong way, Just Chris. I mean.
Yeah, we're not hating on you, Just Chris. No, we like you as a person. We want you here. I
just ain't going bonkers or nothing.
No, not trying to go bonkers. George is on the north side of Milwaukee after the Bucks
lose George?
120-102 last night in Game 4.
George, you like that? You like that song, Bonkers?
Yeah, I like it. It's real catchy. I haven't been blessed to been able to get to the Pfizer Forum yet. I'm gonna get there at some point, but it's real nice, man. I like it's catchy. It's up to date. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, sir. I don't like it.
Gary's
I wanted to ask y'all because I don't have anything to say. I just want to ask y'all a question because I right now, both teams did what they were supposed to do. They held court on both of their floors.
Right.
So I'm asking you because I've never seen it in my life. I know throughout my life watching basketball, you watch coaches make adjustments. So I'm asking you guys, do you think maybe they should go to the lineup where you need experience sometimes, where you get George Hill, championship experience, put Brogdon back in there, put Giannis, Middleton, and Lopez as your starters, to get Bledsoe going, have him come off the bench. So the pressure to try to start off real good, it's not there right away. It's kind of, okay, go ahead, go in there, be our little Vinnie Johnson, and get it going that way, and just kind of go back to our old lineup as far as what we had before Brogdon got hurt. So what do you guys think about that?
Stevie?
I don't know, man. I think... When you look at this Milwaukee Bucks team and how the way this whole thing plays out, there's regular season success and there's postseason success. There's regular season adjustments and there's postseason adjustments. How many times did Giannis see a wall in the regular season?
Not like this.
No. You saw it for the first time really against Boston in Game 1.
Yeah, not like this.
Then Milwaukee said, okay, well, I'll show you. Here comes Giannis. And they couldn't stop him again the rest of the series. And then Toronto does it. And again, it's, well, no big deal. Giannis is going to play harder. And we're going to fix it. And it obviously hasn't been fixed. And a lot of what they do is predicated on Giannis being able to get to the rim and open up floor spacing for the rest of their guys. But what's happening is, as they double Giannis, it's making things more difficult. And then if guys aren't making their shots, it puts you into an even deeper hole at that point. If Brogdon's not hitting shots off the bench and Brogdon's not finishing at the rim, what's Brogdon doing out there? What value does he bring if he can't finish at the rim and can't hit his outside shot? Because last night, that's what the situation was.
Mm-hmm.
Eric Bledsoe, same thing. If he can't hit his outside shot, which he's inconsistent with and has been all year long, but he's also not being aggressive and going to the rim consistently, what what is he bringing? Now, he made first team all NBA defense, but if he was that good of a defensive player, wouldn't you leave him on the floor? Unless you didn't think Kyle Lowry was that big of a threat, right? So you pull Bledsoe off the floor because you go, Kyle Lowry ain't going to score 30 on us. I'll put George Hill out there. He's had Kyle Lowry's number in his career, and we'll still be fine. Just a lot of this stuff that happened yesterday, I'm struggling with what they did or didn't do in that game as the game went on. It's like they saw what was happening and didn't do much of anything to try and stop it.
Didn't go right away and immediately counteract it. I agree with that.
They didn't really do much of anything.
Can we agree now that Kyle Lowry's a problem?
Well, yes. Right now he is.
I mean, I'm more
I'm
more concerned about Norman Powell. I'm more concerned about Ibaka and Siakam than I am worried about Kyle Lowry at this point.
He scored or assisted 17 of the first 19 points when they counteracted you in that first quarter.
Yep, you're right.
That first quarter was big time. I mean, like, we touched on it a little bit, Stevie did, when we first talked about the game. 32-31 it is after the first, but the Bucks came out and in the first 3 minutes established that Giannis was going to come at you. They were up 12-5. Giannis has the big monster dunk in transition. He's yelling, you know, into the camera, and people are going nuts. And then Lowry slowly just kept the Raptors in the game like a veteran does, I guess, in that role. And it feels weird that he's in this point where, like you said, if Eric Bledsoe is going to be that dominant defensively, there shouldn't be that much of a mismatch there at all.
No, you're right. There shouldn't be.
Playing better.
To a certain degree, but again, you're switching all over the place on defense. This isn't Bledsoe's just going to have him the entire game all by himself.
I mean, he's feasting when Mirotić is on him.
When you're switching, you're going to get mismatches throughout. So, and this, again, is something these players wanted to do. And I think we'll have Eric Nemeth on at 20 after 5. We'll see what he thinks, but I think they got to go back to playing how they were in the regular season and be done with all this switching and all these double teams and kind of go back to playing straight up.
Mirotić on Kyle Lowry, Gary, reminds me of like when we used to do Fat Man 7-on-7 in football practice. So they would let the offensive and defensive linemen field the 7-on-7 team to go up against the skill position players. And they used to always put me out at cornerback and say, hey, have some fun.
Yeah,
that doesn't work very well.
No,
you can't jam in the NBA. You can't press coverage in the NBA.
It's not going to look good.
There's no advanced metrics on that.
You're going to pull a groin out there.
Pull something, that's for sure. Mark Simon joins us next. Sports Info Solutions talks some baseball. It's 11-9 at Miller Park, bottom of the eighth. This thing's over. It's in the bank and earning interest. Ben Gamble's up at the dish. We'll talk to Tim Allen. Shaden Blind postgame show joins this Wendy's Big Show after that game is over. Stick with us. A lot more Bucks talk coming up here on The Fan. Talk baseball with Mark Simon now on the Wendy's Big Show. Joins us on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline, Gary Ellerson, Steve Sparky Pfeiffer. I'm Bill Schmidt, Baby Tausch. He's on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline. He works for Sports Info Solutions. Mark Simon joins us Wednesdays 3:48 here on the Wendy's Big Show. Mark, appreciate the time as always, brother.
Yeah, good to talk to you. It's a little bit of a more positive conversation, I imagine, than it would have been a couple of hours ago.
Well, actually, Mark, it hasn't been a very pleasant conversation because we're talking about the Bucks losing back-to-back games up in Toronto. So give us some good news. This Brewers team has definitely turned a corner.
Yeah, and look who had the big hit today. My favorite catcher.
Grandal.
Mr. Grandal. As the go-ahead home run, his numbers have been pretty good the last 2 weeks. They get back to winning if they can get the last three outs here. I don't think anything has changed much from the last time that we talked, even though they had a tough loss or two to the Braves. Those are good teams. Sometimes you're going to lose to good teams, and I think things are going along well. The Geo signing looks good, and just keep it going.
Defensively, how good is this Brewers team right now?
Not as good as last year's team. It's actually funny. I anticipated that you were going to ask that. I guess that Kane's been as good as he's been in previous years. The arm, though, hasn't had the same impact that it's had in the past. It's mostly been great plays. They are fifth in the National League in our defensive stat, the run save thing that we've talked about a bunch of times this year. They are a little light in right field. They're a little light at second base, which I guess was to be expected with Moustakas trying out the position and the new guy coming in. And they're, you're going to laugh, they're a little light at catcher, but he's made up for it on the offensive end. It's going to get better, by the way, defensively at catcher.
It's going to get better. Everything's going to be better with this team, Steve. I've been telling you that everything is going to be better with this team. Mark, I've been taking the reins as the positive guy on the Brewers. You can follow our guy Mark Simon on Twitter at Mark A. Simon.
Wait, one second. I have a rule going forward, Mark, because I saw you were on in San Francisco the other day. I think that we have to make it a running joke that every interview you do in an MLB city, you have to figure out a way to work in Yasmani Grandal into the interview. I think that would be fun. No matter where you are, if you're in St. Louis, San Francisco, you got to drop in that Grandal drop every time.
He's a good two-way player. You should want to talk about him. He's not necessarily an MVP kind of player, but he's a very good two-way player, and he's a bargain on a one-year deal.
Mark, as you look at the Brewers and the NL Central as a whole, and the major leagues as a whole, home runs are up across the board, and it appears now that there is reasons why. Just how much do you guys at Sports Info Solutions be able to quantify just what the home runs have done and kind of maybe changed how the game has been played all year long so far here in 2019 with the emergence of how many have been hit?
Yeah, there have been a lot. It has changed the game a lot. There were good studies done on that. Actually, I'll plug some stuff not done by us, but there have been articles about the winding of the ball and the tightness of the ball and things of that sort that you can find online. But yeah, it's been very highly impactful, and I think the Brewers have taken advantage of it to a decent extent. 78 home runs in 50 games is a pace for what, like 230. That's how you win these days. And, that's for teams that weren't equipped for this, it's a tough way to play. But if you can hit them and avoid giving them up, you're in pretty good shape.
The Chicago Cubs are out in front of this division right now. Do you think, based on the numbers that you've seen so far and how they've played, that they have the capability of running away in this division at some point?
You know, like 2 or 3 weeks ago, it was the guy on here that was saying that the Cardinals were going to win 95. So I don't know that I'm the right person to ask for proclamations at the top of the division. They do look very good. Hendricks has been pretty good. Cole Hamels has been pretty good. They have a much better rotation than you guys. And Darvish has come back. He's been a little up and down. Lester's been pretty good. So they can start a good pitcher 4 out of 5 days. This is a good thing, like a combination to what you were just saying. If you can avoid allowing home runs, Cubs pitchers can, and you can hit lots of home runs, Cubs hitters have 20 more than they've allowed, you're going to be in pretty good shape for the year. I would feel like, I still feel the Cardinals are going to bounce back, and it'll be a three-team race, and that the Brewers are just behind the other two. I feel like they're right there. There's nothing that says that you couldn't catch them.
Yeah, and that was kind of leading to my next question, is the pitching staff for the Milwaukee Brewers, what do you have them ranked as far as the teams in their division?
I have the closer ranked first.
And we're seeing him right now, and he looks outstanding, that's for sure. Two outs here in the ninth inning.
Can he pitch six innings at a time?
No.
Well, Zach Davies was bound to have days like this. Mm-hmm. What happened to him today? This is kind of inevitable. When you strike out six a game, you're not going to necessarily be able to survive that for a whole year. So I think there are a few more of those days coming. Brandon Woodruff, though, has stepped up, and he's looked like a real pitcher, and he's someone who might be a little better even than he's said this before. Mm-hmm. Whoever, at some point, maybe it'll be the end of June, early July, get someone. You definitely need another arm because their pitching staff is definitely, I don't know if it's necessarily back in National League, but it's not. It's definitely not near the top.
Well, and they do lock up the win, Mark. We appreciate the time. 11-9, the Brewers win. We'll talk to you next week, Wednesday.
You got it.
That's Mark Simon joining us of Sports Info Solutions. at Mark A. Simon Says on Twitter. Tim Allen joins us next. Bayview Shane Blind postgame show meets the Wendy's Big Show.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.